convene the Joint Committee on Ways and Means. Appreciate your attendance. Sorry about the delay, but the good word is that both bills are now on the floor dealing with budget passed. I think that's good news. All right, we'll move to budget bills reported out of subcommittee. House Bill 5048. Recognize Representative Patridge.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. House Bill 5048 is the budget bill for the Public Defense Services Commission. The 2001 legislature established the commission and consolidated all trial and appellate public defense services in the commission. The budget reflects the consolidation of these services. The agency is supported by general funds and $1.1 million in other funds revenue from the application contribution fees, or APC, paid by persons seeking public defense services at the trial court. A budget note directs the Public Defense Services Commission and the Judicial Department to enter into an intergovernmental agreement to expand the application contribution program in order to stem indigent defense costs and save money. The subcommittee approved a total budget of $162.8 million, all funds, 60 positions, and 58.45 FTE. The budget is 3.6% below the governor's budget. The subcommittee established a special purpose appropriation to the emergency board of $7 million for workload. With this special purpose appropriation, the Public Defense Services Commission is funded at $2.6 million below the 01-03 closed session adopted budget. Reductions include inflation and pay adjustments, the elimination of five vacant positions, and the elimination of adjustments for any caseload growth and provider compensation increases. Other adjustments reflect a revised transfer date of July 1, 2003 for the Judicial Department Public Defense Program from the original date of 10-1-03, and the cost for representation of defendants whose cases were deferred during the 03-05 biennium due to deferred into the 03-05 biennium due to funding constraints in our current biennium. The estimated cost was used as a basis for the special purpose appropriation. Budget notes direct the Public Defense Services Commission to report on workload, including deferred cases. The Public Defense Services Commission can request the release of special purpose appropriation based upon the workload report and a report on the application contribution program. The Public Safety Subcommittee recommends that House Bill 5048 be amended and reported out, due pass.
Thank you, Representative Patridge. Is there discussion of the motion? Is there objection? Hearing and seeing none, the motion to recommend that House Bill 5048 be passed out as amended is approved. Open up work session, House Bill 5058. Representative Patridge.
Thank you again, Mr. Chair. House Bill 5058 is the budget for the Oregon Youth Authority. The OIA is responsible to protect the public, hold youth offenders accountable, and provide adjudicated youth with opportunities for reform. The OIA is supported predominantly by general funds. It also receives other funds from client resources, county contracts and reimbursements, and federal funds for Medicaid reimbursement for certain community services. The Public Safety Subcommittee approved a budget of $206.8 million general fund, $12.9 million other funds, and $25.5 million federal funds, 1,139 positions, and 1,032.29 FTE. The total funds budget is $7.4 million, 3.1% more than the governor's budget. The subcommittee approved reductions in inflation, the cost of merit increases, attorney general costs, and Department of Administrative Services assessment. It also eliminated 29 vacant positions. Funding for the Deschutes Youth Investment Project is ended based on earlier Senate Bill 5548 reductions. The recommended budget adds back $10 million in general fund, $11.7 million in total funds, and 136 positions to reopen 100 of our closed custody beds for youth offenders in both Burns and Warrenton facilities, and restores funding for the community programs to support closed custody beds. The added beds and community programs will be phased in beginning in November 2003. This will increase closed custody capacity for youth offenders for an average of 800 beds in the governor's budget to 849 beds in the recommended budget. The subcommittee approved a budget note release up to $2.4 million earmarked for Multnomah County gang intervention efforts. The budget note also directs the funding to be distributed equitably within the county. OIA is reporting to the emergency board in the fall of 2004 on the allocation and use outcomes of the gang funding. The Public Safety Subcommittee recommends House Bill 5058 be amended and reported out, due pass as amended.
Thank you, Representative Patridge. Is there discussion?
question.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Smith.
G. Thank you, Chair Miller. Point of clarification for the good representative from Ontario. Is today the day the hat comes off, or would that be after it ends up on the governor's desk?
Mr. Chair, Representative Greg Smith, the hat is loosening up very rapidly. I'd like to see this pass at least one chamber so I can tell my constituents and Burns that they will have some state jobs returned to their community. That's very important to them.
This is wonderful.
Great. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Senator Gordley.
Thank you very much, Mr. Co-Chair. As a representative from Multnomah County, I'd like to thank Representative Patridge and Co-Chair Schrader and anyone else who was involved in arriving at the compromise language around the budget note related to Multnomah County gang funding. Thank you very much.
Senator Dukes.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I was curious as to whether in subcommittee there was any discussion about the remaining 25 beds in Warrenton, discussion like never going to go there, do that next biennium, maybe if we find some more money, any kind of discussion.
Mr. Chair and Senator Dukes, we did have lots of discussion about opening these facilities in the scope of the committee. I think that the committee, if they had all the money in the world, would certainly like to open all of the beds. We tried to accommodate everyone as well, and we'll continue to look for more money for these beds as we continue with the remainder of the session. I know that the good senator from Linn County also has an interest in the and has expressed interest, as have many people from the Linn County delegation, about those particular beds as well. We're trying to do as much as we can, and I think everyone at the committee level had a strong interest in opening as many beds as they could.
Thank you.
Further discussion? Is there objection to the motion to recommend House Bill 5058 be reported to pass with as amended? If not, the motion is agreed to. House Bill 5058 is passed to the floor. I know that Representative Johnson wanted to comment on 5506, so let me skip down one in our schedule. She's going to be right back. And we're going to open up a work session, Senate Bill 5514, the Disabilities Commission. Co-Chair Schrader.
Thank you very much, Mr. Co-Chair. Senate Bill 5514 is a budget bill for the Oregon Disabilities Commission. The mission of the Disabilities Commission is to create an environment in which people with disabilities are active and equal participants. The subcommittee's recommended budget for the agency is $1.2 million, comprised of other and federal funds. All general fund was eliminated from the budget this session. With the elimination of the general fund, the commission was asked to develop a budget proposal using other funds and federal funds only. The agency has responded, and this budget reflects that proposal. Personal services expenditures were budgeted at the current salary levels, and therefore no further adjustment was necessary for the salary freeze. Because the budget was not was reduced significantly due to the elimination of the GF, no other adjustments were made for inflation, DAS assessment, or Attorney General rates as in other budgets. The federal funds expenditure limitation was increased for both the 2001-2003 biennium and the 2003-2005 biennium to reflect the reauthorization of the Federal Technology Access for Life Needs, the Talent Grant. Congress approved another year of the grant from April 1 to March 31, 2004. The grant is extended beyond this period. The Commission will come to the Emergency Board for additional limitation. The Human Services Subcommittee recommends SB 5514 be amended and reported out to pass as amended.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. Is there a discussion?
Mr. Co-Chair.
Senator Gordley.
I will be objecting to the elimination of general fund in this the budget. Thank you.
Thank you. Further discussion? Is there objection? Do you want to be seen as objecting? All right. Further objections? If there are no further objections, then Senate Bill 5514 is passed to the Senate floor. We'll now skip down to Senate Bill 5516, District Attorneys. Representative Hansen.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. Senate Bill 5516 is the budget bill for district attorneys and their deputies. This agency is unique since the district attorneys are state employees but are locally elected. most of the $10,331,000 general fund appropriation for this agency is for paying the district attorney's salaries, with smaller amounts allocated for assisting counties in paying salaries of deputy district attorneys and for the assessments for tort liability coverage. The subcommittee's recommended budget is 9% greater than the governor's budget because the subcommittee added back almost $1.3 million for deputy district attorney assistance, which is part of the overall public safety agreement. During the governor's budget process, the deputy assistance this deputy assistant had been reduced because of the large increase in tort liability assessments for the agency. This amount restores this budget to roughly the amount passed by the 2001 legislature. The budget was also reduced $447,000 as a result of reductions in inflation adjustments, merit pay, and DAS assessment rates. The Public Safety Committee recommends Senate Bill 5516 be amended and reported out as due pass as amended.
Thank you, Representative Hansen. Is there discussion of the motion? Is there objection? Hearing and seeing none, Senate Bill 5516 is passed to the Senate floor as amended. Now down to Senate Bill 5533, the Military Department. Representative Patridge.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. Senate Bill 5533 is the budget bill for the Military Department. The Military Department is responsible for the administration of the Oregon Army and Air National Guards and the Oregon State Defense Force. The federal government provides approximately 97% of the funding for the Oregon National Guard. Guard members' salaries and operational costs, estimated at $359 million, and over 1,000 employees are paid directly by the federal government and are not included within Senate Bill 5533. The subcommittee also approved a total budget of $68,564,620. The budget includes $13.4 million general fund, $49.7 million federal funds, and $5.3 million other funds, and 377.58 FTE. This is an increase of 3.5% over the general fund and less than a 1% increase in total funds from the governor's balanced budget. The budget adds 454,364 general fund resources to restore funding for the Youth Challenge Program and continue tuition assistance payments to the National Guard members currently in the program. The approved budget includes establishing 7 federally funded positions for facilities operations and maintenance of federal National Guard facilities, the Equipment Refurbishment Program, Air Base Security Program, and the agency's Star Base Program. The subcommittee reviewed the department's request to sell the 30th Avenue property in Eugene. According to statute, legislative approval is necessary prior to the sale of real property. The subcommittee recommends approval of the sale. Proceeds from the sale will be used to offset capital construction costs for National Guard facilities. The Public Safety Subcommittee recommends approval of the sale of property and that the bill be amended and reported out due pass as amended.
Thank you, Representative Patridge. Is there discussion of Senate Bill 5533? Is there objection to the motion? Hearing and seeing none, the motion is agreed to. Senate Bill 5533 as amended is passed to the Senate floor. Now we'll revert back to Senate Bill 5506, Capital Planning Commission. Representative Butler.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. This is the first of those budgets which the co-chairs have recommended for the possibility and potential suspension. Capital Planning Commission reviews state agency capital development and facility proposals and coordinates the planning to develop or to determine compatibility with area plans, local planning guidelines, and the local interests. Funding is provided through an assessment against state agencies based upon full-time equivalent positions which are not federally funded. Approximately one-third of the agency's budget, about $110,000 for 2003-2005, comes from the general fund agencies. A component of the co-chair's budget is the suspension, as I mentioned, of the Capital Planning Commission for the 03-05 biennium. Senate Bill 5506 is one bill of a two-bill package that implements that suspension. The other bill is House Bill 3597, which will be discussed later on the agenda. To cover the actual and estimated expenditures for usual services and supplies and an allocation or an allowance for the anticipated billings and payment of staff accrued vacation, Senate Bill 5506 gives the agency an additional other funds limitation of $27,123 for the current biennium. This will be the funded from the agency's 2001-2003 ending balance. Colleagues, it was with a great deal of angst and concern that we went through this process, but going back and reviewing the 10 points that we've been charged with within our committees to develop these budgets, the General Government Subcommittee went ahead and recommended Senate Bill 5506 be amended and reported with a do pass recommendation as amended.
Thank you, Representative Butler. Is there a discussion of the motion? Representative Johnson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, for your courtesy in skipping over this. I'm delighted to have the opportunity to comment. This issue was heard in the subcommittee that I serve on, and I was okay with the Capital Projects Advisory Board taking over some of the duties of a suspended Capital Planning Commission and have voted that way in committee. My confidence in this solution has very recently been gravely shaken. I was informed of a briefing that occurred when Mr. Weeks came to the Department of Administrative Services and was briefed by the Capital Projects Advisory Chair about an appearance that I made before that body. And I'm going to just read briefly from the summary. I'm quoting. In fact, he said, a state representative came to the board some time back to discuss the DPSST siting decision. His words were to the effect, she made her case, we listened politely, and then we dismissed her and went back to our regular work. This was our way of demonstrating that we don't want to get into these kinds of things. That is not a confidence builder in terms of the responsibilities that we're going to be shifting from the Capital Planning Commission to the Capital Projects Advisory Board inside DAS. And while I'm going to support the motion today, I hope that these comments in this venue will send a message to the director of DAS and to the members of the Capital Projects Advisory Board that they have a deep responsibility, that arrogantly dismissing the comments of legislators is completely unacceptable, and that this may be a issue that we as a legislature would want to revisit sometime in the not distant future.
Thank you, Representative. Further discussion, Senator Devlin.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. I will be voting yes on 5506, but I will be actually voting no when we get to 3597, which is the actual suspension of the commission. 5506 is simply carrying out the, I believe, the budget requirements for 0103 in some ways. And the reason basically is I think it's probably time that the role of the Capital Planning Commission be reevaluated. It's been in existence for 50 years, but of course during that, I don't want to touch on anything here that's sensitive, but during that 50 years, the latter half of that, we've developed an extensive system of land use requirements in the state. And so I think that there should have been some review of the Capital Planning Commission's role. My concern, however, is similar in nature to Representative Johnson's. And that is, I don't believe that the advisory board to DAS on these facilities is any kind of an independent board for citizens to come to have the opportunity to express their concerns, nor is it empowered to make findings in terms of land use decisions. So I think actually that while due to budget constraints we may need to take this action, I think that we will probably be reevaluating this in the next legislative session.
Thank you, Senator. Senator Carter.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair, and thank you very, very much for bringing us donuts this morning and the comment in terms of it being at least one-tenth of your per diem. And I know that was truly a sacrifice on your part, so thank you.
Thank you for your sweetness.
Yeah, sweetness to you.
I will be voting no on this budget today. Last session I brought before the body some comments that was done by the Health Commission when they used a statement that a state senator had come by, but it was a drive-by. I think that is the most insensitive thing that people can say. And it's enough for me, and the representative can vote yes if she pleases. I'm voting no as a matter of the kind of arrogance that was done in that statement, but also you will hear further from another one of our colleagues with same kind of dismissive language used against her as well. So I will be not only voting no on this one, but the other one that my colleague, Senator, what's your name?
Devlin.
It was a little joke from this morning. I apologize. that Senator Devlin mentioned today as well. So I'll be no on both.
Thank you, Senator. Further discussion?
Mr. Chair.
Representative Hansen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I, too, would like to join the good senator from North and Northeast Portland in thanking you for the donuts and acknowledging that I'm going to be voting no on this budget, too. I think it's a case of being a penny wise and pound foolish. I think the Capital Planning Commission performs a valuable service, niche in seeing how the capital fits, capital and state agencies fit in Salem and Marion County. I think this is going to impact the two local governments' abilities to adequately process some of the state's needs. I could join with Senator Devlin in terms of it's probably time to relook at the agency, see where it fits in light of current land use obligations. I think studying where this what the niche for the Capital Planning Commission could be, how it fits in our overall needs over the next biennium would be very valuable. But simply to suspend it, I think, is going to create more problems than it will solve with the limited amount of general fund that it will save. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative. Further discussion, Senator Gordley.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. I'll also be objecting for a number of reasons, but the one I'll cite here is that I just don't believe that this is a decision that has been well thought out, and I'll leave it at that.
Thank you. Further comments? If not, I think we'll have Mr. Rocco call the roll on this one.
Representative Butler.
Aye.
Representative Patrick.
Aye.
Representative Hansen.
No.
Representative Morgan.
Aye.
Representative Johnson.
I've listened to the comments of my colleagues, and I've talked myself right out of a yes into a no.
Representative Bates.
No.
Representative Krieger.
Aye.
Representative Tootie Smith.
Aye.
Representative Greg Smith.
Courtesy, no.
You know, that was no.
Correct.
Representative Co-Chair Miller?
Aye.
Senator Dukes?
Aye.
Senator Carter?
No.
Senator Gordley?
No.
Senator Messerly?
Aye.
Senator George?
Aye.
Senator Devlin?
Aye.
Senator Morse?
Aye.
Co-Chair Schrader?
Aye.
The motion passed.
Senate Bill 5506 is passed to the Senate floor as amended. Other bills reported out of subcommittee. Senate Bill 184 relating to the Aspire program. Senator Gordley.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. Senate Bill 184 adds authority in statute for the Oregon Student Assistance Commission's Aspire program. The commission first established the program in 1998 and has since expanded it to 39 high schools across the state. The Aspire program trains volunteer advisors. These advisors act as mentors to high school students and provide information on student financial aid and post-secondary education and training options. No general fund is spent on Aspire. The program is entirely supported from grants, donations, and charges to participating schools. The program has never been established in statute, and the Oregon Student Assistance Commission has operated it on a temporary basis. Senate Bill 184 establishes Aspire in statute and creates a new fund to facilitate the separate accounting of program monies. The Education Subcommittee found this to be a worthy program and recommends passage of the bill. The subcommittee is recommending that the bill be amended to remove a provision to deposit general fund appropriations into the newly established Aspire Fund. No general fund is currently budgeted for this program, and Senate Bill 184 does not commit the state to provide general fund at any future time. Removing this language is therefore advisable. Your education subcommittee recommends that Senate Bill 184 be amended by the Dash 2 amendments and reported out do pass as amended.
Thank you, Senator Gordley. Is there discussion on Senate Bill 184 as amended? Is there objection to the motion? If not, Senate Bill 184 is passed to the Senate floor with a recommendation to pass. Open up the work session. Senate Bill 500 relating to women, infants, and children program. Senator Gordley.
Thank you again, Mr. Co-Chair. Senate Bill 500 appropriates $49,000 in general fund over the next biennium to the Department of Human Services to support and expand the Women's, Infants, and Children's Farmers Market Program. The program is administered by the Department of Human Services and provides vouchers to low-income women and children to be used at local farmers markets. The program operates June through October each year to provide $20 worth of coupons for fresh fruits and vegetables to participants. The additional $49,000 of general fund will bring an additional $114,000 in federal funds over the next biennium. Your Human Services Subcommittee recommends Senate Bill 500 be reported out due pass.
Thank you, Senator. Is there discussion of Senate Bill 500? Objection to the motion? Hearing and seeing none, it is agreed to. Senate Bill 500 is passed to the floor. Open up a work session. Senate Bill 501, Representative T. Smith.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Senate Bill 501 appropriates $40,000 of general fund over the next biennium to the Department of Human Services for administering and increasing the redemption rates for Senior Farmers Market Nutrition Program. The Senior Farmers Market Program began 3 years ago with Oregon being selected to receive federal funds for services for seniors to purchase fresh fruit and vegetables. The program is available to low-income seniors 60 years of age or older who are utilizing food stamps. Federal funds will be used to provide vouchers to participating seniors, redeemable for fresh fruits and vegetables at local farmers markets and certified roadside stands. The program currently has a 91% redemption rate of the vouchers issued. Your Human Services Committee recommends Senate Bill 501 be reported out, do pass.
Thank you, Representative Smith. Is there discussion on Senate Bill 501?
No, we don't care. He wants to comment first.
Senator George?
Well, we were just discussing whether Representative Hansen and I needed to declare a conflict of interest because of the 60-year age thing and qualification, but we decided we would not.
You two are definitely in a class by yourselves.
We are the individual.
It's not the kind of required you to declare a conflict. Representative Hansen.
Well, I'm not going to stoop to the level. Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm not going to stoop to this type of a level of petty and malicious attacks on committee members. I would like to thank the co-chairs for allowing these two bills to move forward. I think they're incredibly good pieces of legislation, and I'm very, very pleased to see them move forward. And probably in a year or two, I'll be able to participate in the program.
Thank you. Yes, Senator Dukes.
Can I use this after I pitch my tent out in the front lawn after you take my per diem away from it? Although if you have to be 60, I'm not quite there yet.
Thank you for that. Yes, Senator Messerly.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I actually have a serious question. How do they define farmer's market?
Mm-hmm. Representative T. Smith?
I would refer to one of our committee staff people on that.
And then a game show with a real somebody end up.
Co-chairs, members of the committee, I'm Danelda Dodson from the Department of Human Services. A farmer's market is defined by farmer's market. We have about 50 farmer's markets, and these markets are those that have farmers who bring their own produce to the market. It is not a market that may broker other foods for selling. So it has to be a market where farmers bring their own produce.
Thank you. Take care. Appreciate that. Other questions? Discussion? Senate Bill 501. Is there objection to Senate Bill 501 being passed to the Senate floor? Hearing and seeing no objections, it is agreed to. House Bill 2259 relating to wildlife. Representative Krieger.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. House Bill 2259 extends the sunset on the restoration enhancement surcharge. The Department of Fish and Wildlife has added a surcharge to sport and commercial fishing licenses and fish landing fees since 1989 to fund the Fish Restoration Enhancement Program. This program provides grants for education, fishing access, habitat, research, monitoring, and hatchery deferred maintenance. The surcharge is scheduled to end December 31, 2003. This bill would extend the sunset December 31, 2009. Continued revenues and expenditures from this surcharge are assumed in the department's budget as adopted by the Joint Committee on Ways and Means. The Natural Resource Committee recommends House Bill 2259 be reported out due pass.
Thank you, Representative Krieger. Is there discussion of House Bill 2259? Is there objection to the motion? Will it be reported to the House due pass? If not, it is agreed to. We'll open up the work session. House Bill 2260 relating to wildlife fees. Representative Krieger.
Thank you again. House Bill 2260 modifies the fees for hunting and angling license and tags. These modifications are needed to address the projected revenue shortfall. The department convened an external budget advisory committee to develop a new fee structure and then conducted a series of town hall meetings across the state to gather public input on increasing license and tag fees to a level that would enable the department to continue programs and services. This bill implements the recommendation of the External Budget Advisory Committee. The committee recommended increasing the cost of most resident angling hunting fees by an average of $5. Adoption of this bill would generate approximately $10 million in the 2003-5 biennium. Revenues from this bill will enable the Department of Fish and Wildlife to maintain programs that support the state's fish and wildlife resources. Your Natural Resources Committee amended the bill to adjust outfitter and guide tag fees and create a new 3-day non-resident hunting license for migratory waterfowl and upland game birds. Passage of this bill is assumed in the Department's budget as adopted by the Joint Committee on Ways and Means. The Natural Resource Subcommittee recommends House Bill 2260 be amended and be reported out due pass as amended.
Thank you, Representative. Is there a discussion on House Bill 2260? Is there objection to the motion?
You have one.
Senator George, you object.
Mm-hmm.
The record shows that Senator George is objectionable. Or no, he just objects.
He objects, I think.
Yeah. Got that.
Some of us are still
if there are no further objections, House Bill 2260 is passed to the House as amended. Open up a work session. House Bill 3597. Representative Butler.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. House Bill 3597 is the second bill that's needed for this temporary suspension of the Capital Planning Commission during the 03-05 biennium. It temporarily directs the Commission not to meet in the review or approval of state agency capital development and facility proposals and area plan revisions. The House Bill 3597 also temporarily assigns the Commission's jurisdiction for the executive residence to the Department of Administrative Services. It also gives the Department of Administrative Services the authority to make certain payments on employment compensation, anything further that might be unanticipated at this time and on behalf of the Commission in the 2003-2005 biennium. Another funds limitation of $21,630 is given to DAS for this purpose. Subcommittee expressed its expectation that DAS, during the period of the Commission suspension, DAS will continue its role in other statutory processes relating to capital projects in Salem and Polk County. In a cooperative and public manner, including the working with other state agencies, the city of Salem, and all citizens in this process. Subcommittee also included its expectation that DAS, with the Capital Projects Advisory Board, be the facilitator for public to be able to come forward with concerns during the biennium about pending capital projects. The General Government Subcommittee recommends that House Bill 3597 be amended and reported out to the floor with due pass recommendation as amended.
Thank you, Representative. Is there a discussion on House Bill 3597, Senator Devlin?
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chairman. I will be voting no. I explained earlier why on 5506. This is the actual suspension of the Capital Planning Commission. And while I think it's probably timely to reevaluate the role of the Capital Planning Commission, given the changes that have occurred over the last 50 years since its inception, I do not believe the Department of Administrative Services is the type of neutral body that the public needs to go to in terms of testifying about actions of the state in terms of siting facilities, nor do I believe it has. I know it does not have any land use authority, that advisory committee. And so I think this is a somewhat of a short-sighted change. I'm not necessarily opposed to the idea that the general fund should have been reduced substantially for the commission, but I don't believe that its actual suspension will serve the long-term interests of the state.
Thank you, Senator. Further discussion?
Mr. Co-Chair.
Senator Gordley.
Thank you. What happens to the staff in this case? Do they transfer to DAS? Do they stay on in consulting roles? How does that work?
Mr. Chair, there are two staff people, part-time staff within the commission, one part-time, one full-time. The one is already in the process of retirement, and the other person we've allocated an appropriated unemployment for that particular employee.
Further discussion or questions? Representative Johnson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm going to vote in support of this, but I am stating on the record my intention to have a serious conversation with Director Weeks about the role that the Capital Projects Advisory Board fulfills, their treatment of the public, their treatment of the legislative branch, with a very clear expectation that, given their new scope of responsibilities, this has to be a forum that changes its behavior.
Thank you, Representative. I'm sure you'll be looking forward to your visit. Carter,
Mr. Chair.
Thank you. Representative Bates.
I'll be remaining with no on this, primarily because of interaction with Mr. Weeks and the good representative from Scappoose. I've had similar interactions, and I just feel that it's time to be supportive of the legislature. There are three branches of government. We need to respect each other and treat each other with respect. I don't see that happening sometimes with an individual, and be right front about it. We've had problems in the health care issues with him, and I think that it's a serious problem.
Thank you, Representative Hansen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'll want to be listed as objectionable on this one for the same reasons I explained on the budget bill.
Thank you. Further discussion? Why don't we take roll on this one as well?
Representative Butler?
Aye.
Representative Hansen?
No.
Representative Morgan?
Aye.
Representative Johnson?
Aye.
Representative Bates?
No.
Representative Krieger?
Aye.
Representative Tootie Smith?
Aye.
Representative Greg Smith?
Aye.
Co-Chair Miller?
Aye.
Senator Dukes?
No.
Senator Carter?
No.
Senator Gordley?
No.
Senator Messerly?
Aye.
Senator George?
Aye.
Senator Devlin?
No.
Senator Morse?
Aye.
Co-Chair Schrader?
No.
That motion fails.
I like the motion.
Senator Schrader?
I'd like to move to reconsider the vote, having voted on the prevailing side, and to the idea of sending this bill back to committee for a little constitutional work.
All right. The motion is to reconsider the vote by which House Bill 3597 failed for the purposes of referring it back to the General Government Subcommittee. Is there objection to the motion? Hearing and seeing none, House Bill 3597 is referred to the General Government Subcommittee. Adoption of Conflict Amendments, House Bill 3522.
Okay.
And that's Representative Johnson.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. House Bill 3522 directs the Department of Transportation to adopt rules covering restrictions and requirements on the distribution and use of monies from the Elderly and Disabled Special Transportation Fund. The Joint Committee on Ways and Means previously approved this bill, and it passed the House with a 53-0 vote. The Dash 1 amendments resolve conflicts with Senate Bill 180, which would authorize the Department of Transportation to distribute monies from the Elderly and Disabled Special Transportation Fund to Indian tribes. I recommend approval of House Bill 3522 as amended.
Thank you, Representative Johnson. Is there discussion of House Bill 3522? Is there objection to the motion? It would be reported to the Senate with a two pass or with the adoption of the conflict amendment. If not, the motion is agreed to. Other business. Department of Administrative Services, Public Safety Subcommittee, Senator.
Well, Representative Butler.
Senator Carter.
Mr. Chairman, Senate Bill 5514 is the budget bill. Oh, wrong one.
Oh. Mm-hmm. Representative Butler.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. Wow. Okay. The Public Safety Subcommittee recommends the Joint Legislative Committee on Ways and Means accept the report on the strategy for disposition of approximately 700 acres in the southeast Salem owned by the Department of Correction known as the Mill Creek property. January 2003, Emergency Board instructed the Department of Administrative Services to return to the 2003 legislature to provide additional information on the development and sale of Mill Creek property regarding infrastructure needs and financing development time frame and staffing needs the state agencies will need for this project. The agency reported that there are currently limited services on a portion of the property and future infrastructure needs include future water and sewer improvements and the site along the to be upgraded to access the site for access to I-5. The city is exploring the use of tax increment financing to pay for a portion of these improvements. The agency reported that there is current interest in a portion of the property that existing utilities would hope to serve within this next year. Longer term, the plan is to provide the remaining infrastructure and seek a broader group of industrial and commercial users over the next 10 years. The city anticipates creation of at least 2,000 jobs on this site as the development is completed. Mm-hmm. Department of Administrative Services believes that the state's responsibilities for this development can be done within current staffing, and the department or the Public Safety Subcommittee recommends acceptance of the report.
Is there a discussion? Yes, Senator Messerly.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'd like clarification. It says in the report I'm looking at that the proceeds will go to the Oregon Correctional Enterprise and the Oregon Culture Trust. I thought we changed that at one point during the special sessions. Is that still valid?
Mr. Chair, that was discussed in the subcommittee. I think what we need to do is look to and defer that question to our legislative fiscal. I think that will require other legislative action. What we did here was we merely accepted the report, and we really acknowledged the report more than anything else.
Mr. Chair, for the record, the legislative fiscal staff, current law does divide the property up between the cultural trust and the correctional enterprises. It would take an action of the body to change the distribution.
Hello, Mr. Chair.
Yes, Senator Messerly.
Was there discussion of pending bills that would change the distribution of those funds?
There was discussion of the fact. Again, we were charged with acknowledging the report and not to change necessarily the other law, but we acknowledge that there are in fact other bills being considered and work within the legislative leadership to go ahead and intercept some of the potential proceeds that are available here. Maybe available.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Representative G. Smith.
Thank you, Chair Miller. Representative Can you clarify it for me? What's the current land being used for? I see it's broken up. Is it currently being used for agricultural purposes?
Mr. Chair, it is zoned. This property is zoned agriculture. A portion of it, the 700 acres, is also zoned agriculture. It is part of the urban growth plan. It's our understanding it's part of the urban growth area of the city. A portion of the full 2,000 acres that's anticipated would be utilized by the Department of Corrections for the Department of Public Safety Standards folks and for that new facility. And then a portion, approximately 200 of the 700 acres that's involved here, would be set aside for some sort of wetlands or some sort of other mitigation. So there's only about 500 acres that would actually be used, and the overall cost, anticipated cost, was substantial in bringing that up to its highest and best use as commercial. And the city has, SEDCOR, the development portion arm of the city, has quite a stake in this property, wanting to make it into its highest and best uses, industrial applications.
Further questions? Senator George.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. Question on page 2 of the report, it says this may be one reason that the governor has selected this as one of the top 25 sites to become shovel-ready quickly. What do we know about that? Because I think it might affect the decisions we would make relative to the distribution of those funds.
Mr. Chair, we asked for and received a complete copy of the shovel-ready sites. This, indeed, for the Salem area, is one of the shovel-ready sites, but the list, I think, probably has a total of in excess of 100 shovel-ready sites, and they are winnowing that down. There is probably sufficient sewer and water infrastructure that is already developed on this that could accommodate the use of, I think we said that there could be as much as 250 acres that could be used in phase one, which I think goes through May of 2004. Yes, May of 2004 is phase one. That 200 to 250 acres, and then after that, then the rest of it could be used for industrial. But it just depends upon the shovel ready, the nature of shovel ready. It's my understanding that with the current infrastructure, but without the transportation infrastructure, which would be longer term, this could be shovel ready immediately.
Representative G. Smith.
Thank you, Co-Chair Miller. Representative, was an environmental impact statement conducted and issued on this?
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, that I'm aware of, again, there has not been, but I don't know specifically what has been done relative to that. There is an anticipation that 200 of the 700 acres will need to be set aside for other and diverted to other uses other than for construction and expansion and build out. Perhaps staff, I don't know.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, I'm not sure if a formal one is done, but they have retained a number of consultants, of which one of their charges was to take a look at the environmental needs and constraints of the property. I'll need to check whether the formal EIS was done.
Representative Smith.
Was there any analysis done in terms of the impact this would have on available water supply within the area or water quality impacts as a result of taking agricultural ground out of production?
Mr. Chair, we did discuss discussed relative to the water that a reservoir will need to be constructed to serve this property for its long-term purposes. That reservoir is a culinary water reservoir as opposed to any kind of wild water reservoir, again, because a portion of this is in fact Mill Creek. A portion would be set aside and reserved so that Mill Creek could run its natural full bank during floods and above full bank without endangering the possibility of a construction site. But we didn't discuss the actual wild waters issue or those kinds of things as to how it relates to this particular property.
One last question.
Representative Smith.
Thank you, Co-Chair Miller. Was the State Historical Preservation Office notified to determine that the historical significance of this property and the impact the sale would have on Oregon's culture and history.
Mr. Chair, Representative Smith, SHPO is one of the parties at that table relative to this property and its proposed uses.
Thank you.
SHPO?
At the State Historic Preservation Office.
I thought you had a rule against an acronym.
Not in full, Mr. Chair.
Further discussion on this report. The most discussed report I think I've ever sat through in this committee.
I know.
All right, if there's no further discussion, we will recommend acknowledging receipt of the report on the Mill Creek property.
Mr. Chair, just let me say this with regard to that report.
Yes.
While we've discussed it. The requested action is to accept the report and approve a partnership. We did not approve a partnership. We merely accepted the report.
Please.
Is there anything more on this report? Well, let's report it out here.
You want another report?
All right. Is there anything further to come before the committee?
Yeah, Mr. Chair.
Senator Conley.
Thank you. The reference to the environmental impact statement reminds me that there is a bill currently stuck in the Ways and Means process. I believe it's Senate Bill 548, and it relates to a human impact statement and the need for human impact statements on those budgets that are related to human services. And it's my hope that we will act on that bill. I may have the number wrong, but it is my hope that we will act on that measure before we adjourn Sunnydale. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator. There's nothing further to come before the committee other than
a report.
Disregarding how you've behaved today, we're still having the function on Tuesday night. You're still all invited.
You still going to invite us in spite of it?
Some of you are on kind of a probationary status, but.
And who might that be? Looking to your left.
There's nothing further to come before the committee. We are adjourned.